any of the injuries from yesterday, anything that could impact this week?
Yeah, K1 will probably impact this week, and we're not ruling him out for sure. But it's not very likely right now. Rube's all right. Should be good to go. We'll recheck it tomorrow, but he was real sore today. But MRI and the x-rays were okay, or negative.
Fusco?
Fusco will be questionable this week. That we probably won't know that all week. I know he's got a chance, but that's going to we're going to have to see how he recovers from rehab throughout the week. But he does have a chance. And then Trent's in the concussion protocol. So we'll see how that goes throughout the week. And was that it? Yeah, that was it.
With the guard spot, is that just Beatles, or does Magnuson have a chance to step in there? And
yeah, we'll have those guys compete this week. And also they'll be competing with, when Fusco, hopefully he gets out there. And we'll see how healthy he is to go, but they'll all be battling for it. You know, we got Beatles, we got Magnuson, got some guys on practice squad too. We'll see how that plays out, though.
We're looking forward to the film session with CJ. So how did that go, and what stood out from it?
It was good. It's always more fun to watch tape that you were successful in, but it's also fun to watch tape with a guy who I know is soaking everything in. Just talking with him through text last night, I could tell he was watching it a ton last night, having a bunch of questions even before we got in today. So it's always fun when you can get with a guy and you feel you have a chance to help him get better. I enjoy meeting with him because he asks good questions, and I think he learns from really every rep that he gets.
How did Ruben do yesterday, just from the mental side in particular? Did you have him do a lot of the communication stuff, or did you have to kind of help him?
No, he ran everything. He was the Mike linebacker out there, so he made all the calls. And, for his first NFL game, not counting the 10 plays he had versus Carolina, I thought he did a pretty good job. He got our guys lined up fast every time. I think he'll get better as we go. I think he'll learn from a lot of stuff that he did miss. But his first game out there, I thought he did a good job.
You were asked about this after the game, but did you find out anything further about kind of the optics of some guys on defense yelling at each other on the field and having it carry over to the bench area? Anything concerned about?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see it, like I said, but I talked to our coaches first about it, who told me some of the stuff that you guys were talking about. Talked to some of the players also. A lot of it, what it sounded to me like, was kind of typical stuff when you are getting embarrassed like we were. Guys do get frustrated, and I do think we got a lot of guys just speaking with them. We got a lot of passion. Guys want to win as much as you possibly can, and when that stuff does happen, I mean, I've been on a lot of sidelines before that you see that type of stuff, but that by no means is that stuff that I want. I'm looking for guys to make differences on the field, and what I did was happy with what I heard from the guys. There was times that they were doing that stuff, but guys recovered from it. Guys were able to call each other up. A few players addressed it, got guys to cool down a little bit, and they went back and finished their job. So I was glad they recovered from it. Talking to them today, there was no big issues. But that's definitely stuff that I'm looking for. I always say I see better than I hear. And, you find out a lot of people through adversity. And it doesn't mean everyone's going to be perfect, but it's very important to me. The type of people that we have in our locker room, the type of leaders that we have in the locker room, how they respond to situations like this.
Like a couple jerks on the team, though, to point out to guys that aren't doing their job that they need to do their job?
I don't know if they have to be jerks. They just have to be, to me, you got to be close and you got to be real. It's, I think that's why I try to tell the guys the difference between, a neighborhood and a brotherhood. It's, you don't always just call out your neighbor and, you can be cordial with them and hang out, but when it's your brother and they do something wrong, you're gonna talk to them about it, and it might not always be easy, but the next day you're okay from it, and usually both better from it. And that's what we're trying to build here through between coaches, players, really everyone in this building, that there's no uncomfortable conversation that you can't have with someone you're close to, and you need that between people to get the most out of each other, and that helps everyone keep each other accountable.
There's been a lot of talk from the media otherwise, you're close, you've lost all these close games. Not that you want yesterday to happen, but is that in some ways, can it be a valuable wake-up call? Maybe we're not close. There's still plenty of work to be done here, and we can't be satisfied, particularly without a win.
Well, yeah, I think when you don't have a win, I don't think you have to worry about us needing a wake-up call. I don't think we're sitting there and we feel good because everyone's telling us how close we are. I think personally, that, you know, we I appreciate it and all, but, you know, it kind of, I think it upsets us a little to a degree. We know close isn't enough. It's either win or you lose. And, you know, we appreciate the support and everything, but by no means does anyone feel good about themselves when you lose. It's tough. It wears on you. And you got to recover and come back the next week and reset and find a way to get a win. And we haven't been able to do that. Definitely played our worst game yesterday, and the results showed it. But we weren't feeling great before that. We need to get a win, and it's not going to be easy. We got to put in the work and find a way to do it.
Why do you think the team took a step back
yesterday? Because of what the score was, what it looked like on the field. You know, I think we came out. I thought we played hard. You know, I told you guys I'd look into that, and you know, I think you could see at the beginning of the game, guys were playing hard and started out pretty good on defense with that three and out. Had that turnover on the first punt to Trent, and they went down and scored right away, 7-0, and they ended up getting one on their next time down. I think they had a penalty to convert on a third and long, made it 14-0, and kind of got ourselves in the same hole that we had been in. Didn't get off to a good start, but it wasn't until lack of effort. You know, I thought we had a chance to kind of close the gap there at the end of the half like we had the last couple weeks. And, you know, second a goal, I believe, on the five, and, you know, we ended up getting a sack fumble, which put us down 20-3. But just being in that locker room, by no means did I, you know, I felt our team had been there the previous few weeks, and we thought we could come out and answer right away. We got the ball, marched down the field. We're short on a third and four. Didn't get anything. Went for it on fourth and four. And we didn't get it. And then the next play, they had a screen that went 60 yards for a touchdown. And after that, I think it was 27-3. And that's kind of when I felt, you know, we didn't have much left in the tank. And I thought we missed our opportunity there. That guys came out, competed hard, really did everything they could to win that game, and didn't play very well. We turned the ball over. Missed our opportunities to score when we did have them. Got stopped on downs to open the third quarter, gave up a huge screen, which was unacceptable. And you do that versus a team like that, and I think the results weren't surprising because of it.
Rashard Robinson had a couple of big penalties. How's he developing on those particular calls? Did he do as he was coached to do on the PI and then the illegal contact?
Well, no, you never want to get a guy to get a PI, and the best way to not get a PI is to not touch a guy. You know, I promise there's touching on every play, and it's up to the ref where they want to call a PI or not, and you got to adjust to them. You know, sometimes they're going to be harder than others, but if you are putting your hands on guys, it gives them an opportunity to make a call, and then you leave it up to them. So, you know, just you can't get those calls, and they're huge ones, especially when you happen on third down. You know, it's like that one was worse than the others, but if you put your hands on people, they always have the opportunity to call it. And just because they don't always doesn't mean that you can do it. You got to adjust to them, and you got to work your feet and get in a better position.
Eric said yesterday, I mean, he didn't seem thrilled with the idea that he's going to be playing a lot of linebacker now, but obviously with what happened with Navarro and him expressing that he wasn't happy with his role, do you have to have a conversation with Eric? Are you concerned about that, and where does that whole situation stand going forward?
Yeah, I'm not concerned about that. You know, if Eric wasn't happy with his role, I hope he'd come and talk to me about it, and then we'd have a real good talk about that. But, you know, we're asking, you know, we're trying to get our best 11 guys on the field, and it's not just that's not an absolute answer every week. It depends who we're playing, depends what personnel we want to go with, depends on some of the schemes we're going against. Eric's done a lot of good things in this league. He's played at a high level. He's done a real good job at safety. When you play an eight-man front, the difference between safety and linebacker is just where you line up, but you move to there from a safety spot too. It's just a little different depth, but gap, responsibility, everything are very similar in an eight-man front. You know, I think Tart's played at a pretty high level for us while Eric's been out too. So, you know, we're just trying to figure out the best way to get our best 11 out there. Last week, we thought we had an opportunity to get Eric at linebacker, which is really what he plays a lot when he's a down safety, which is every play except on third and long. So, you know, Eric, you know, we put him in a position that we thought could help our team. I thought he played hard. I think he'll get better at it the more he does it. But that isn't just set in stone. That's how we're going to go week in and week out.
Concerned, though, that maybe he's a little bit lighter than the standard linebacker against, you know, a big line like Dallas's?
There always is, but that's the same. You know, that's why you don't play it. That's why we just had a nickel personnel. Depends on the situations we're trying to go against. That stuff we have to decide. What's the cost and what's the cost reward for it? Well, what's the negatives? What's the positives? But you look across this league, I mean, whether you're playing Arizona, whether it's the Rams, Jacksonville, with Telvin, I mean, there's a number of linebackers in this league who weigh 210 pounds. And that's what safeties do too when they're an eight-man front. That's what Cam Chancellor's at really almost every single play in the game.
Better, he had his biggest day in terms of playing time.
I'm sorry, who's that?
Colbert.
Yeah.
And then with K1 up in the air for this week, he might continue to have a big role. I mean, is he showing you what you want?
Yeah, I mean, he took advantage of his opportunity. You know, Colbert's done a good job on special teams for us so far. You know, he's been playing with very high effort, and he's a guy who can run. He's not scared to hit you, and so he's made an impact on special teams. When K1 went down to nickel, we had to move Jimmy into that spot, so it was the next man up at safety, and the reps that he got, he went and did a good job. So took advantage of his reps, and if he's called on again, expect him to do the same and get better from it.
K1 can't go, would you feel more comfortable playing Ward at nickel and then playing Colbert, or would you feel the need to bring back someone like Leon Hall?
Yeah, no, that's fluid right now. You know, we're going to decide that probably over these next 24 hours. I think there's a good chance we probably will have to bring Leon back. It depends how we want to look into all that, though. I know Jimmy, you got a lot of versatility, but I also don't want to keep messing with Jimmy and change him between positions every series. I like him to stay at a spot and really have a chance to own that and get very good at it.
Seven, that makes sense. You also don't want this thing to get totally out of hand. How do you balance trying to win some games and, you know, build towards the future?
Well, my first decision will give us the best chance to win every Sunday, and that will always be the most important thing to me at the time. You know, more rookies are playing. I think we're also we've had more injuries. I think more rookies have had time to practice more so that they have gotten better. But there's not really a situation on our team where we're just saying, hey, play the young guy because he's younger, while we have a better player sitting right there on the bench. So we take all that into account. Yeah, we do have a lot of rookies out there, but that's not just because we're deciding based off age who should play.
You said teams have to have players who aren't afraid to get in their brothers' faces and call them out. Which players on your team have you seen do that?
It's not about getting in people's faces and calling them out. It's about people who are real and people who aren't real. Some people who just get in faces and call people out is just so all you guys can see it and people can say they're a leader, and those are sometimes the furthest ones from it. People who are leaders are people who help people and make the people better, make the team better. There's lots of ways to do that. I think the number one way to do that is you have to be yourself. If you're a guy who's always aggressive and vulgar, and that's something you do, people can deal with that if that's who you are. But when you're a guy who just randomly does that out of nowhere, maybe on the sidelines, so people can write how good of a leader he's being, that's usually the farthest one from it. So mine's about having the right type of people who act like men, who act like pros, and keep each other accountable and don't BS each other.
Who are the real vocal leaders on your team?
Well, we got a number of them, but I'm not going to sit there and share all of them with you.
You have a team meeting this morning where you went over like the 30 plays or whatever that you usually do?
Yeah, today I didn't show any clips. We broke up into our rooms to do that. I talked to the team for about 20 minutes. Had a few people talk, went over a couple things. We didn't get to the tape as a group. We broke up into our individual meetings to do that.
It's a gist of what was said.
What's that?
It's a gist of what you said.
A lot of stuff I've talked to you guys about, just trying to find out who each other are, knowing that none of this stuff's easy. You know, I think everything happens for a reason, and I'm going to make sure that us going through this, we're going to be better from it. And, you know, obviously no one wants to be 0-7, but I think we have very high expectations of where we want our team and this organization to go. And I see this as part of that process. Yeah, I wish it could be a different process. I wish it could all be fun and games and easy for everybody. But I see this as a necessity to get to where we want to be. We're just not trying to win enough games to make it look acceptable. You know, we're trying to build an organization, build it from the bottom to the top the right way so we can have sustainable success. And in order to do that, you have to know exactly the type of people you're dealing with. It's not just players, it's coaches, it's everyone in this building. And sometimes I think it takes going through a lot of adversity to really find out who everyone is and who you are dealing with, and to make sure that You know, if we have high expectations and we want to be this special place, that sometimes you got to go through this stuff to find out who the special people are.
A draw play to Carlos that worked really well. I was just hoping to get some details on a play. I noticed that CJ faked right before that.
Is that a fake slant
over to the left? I couldn't tell who he
was. Yeah, we ran two draws, and they both were kind of this. They both were two of our better runs, but one we faked to the left and handed it to him. The other one we faked to the right and then handed it off to him to the left. So I'm not sure which one you're talking about.
The one where he faked to the left and then he ran to the right.
Yeah, that's just trying to move linebackers, get angles for our offensive linemen. When they do go with it, it helps their blocks a lot better. And I thought that Carlos made a very good run on that. We didn't block the safety who was down. It was a hard eight-man front. We didn't get to him. Carlos made a miss, but we set up everyone else with the pump. And then we had the other one in the game where Skandrick was coming off the edge. He's a guy who's uncounted for. CJ gave a slight pump, which made him go up the field a little bit, which allowed us to hand it off for a 15-yard gain. It's a fine line. That looks like a good play. It's a play I called earlier in the year where a guy blitzed off the edge and we pumped him and he didn't bite on the pump, and we had a loss of 4 yards with the exact same look. So it's about this far from being a good play or a horrible play, and that was one of our good ones yesterday.
Dallas was blitzing, I noticed, looking at some of the advanced numbers, way more than they had been all year.
Yes.
So you were talking about the fine margin there. Was that more likely to work in a game like this where it seemed like they were selling out a little bit more on a blitz?
Yeah, well, when you run draws, you know, draws are for when, just like when screens are, when everyone's in zone coverage really soft and they're expecting pass and you let them drop real deep and then you hand off a draw and get a bunch of cheap yardage, just like a screen. Sometimes when guys blitz, people check out of draws because those blitzers aren't accounted for. And it's a really bad play if those blitzers make the play. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Here we decided to pump one. We pumped the guy who was blitzing, which made him go up the field about half a step. And if you can get that done, then it's a really good play. So it's just, it's risk-reward when you do it. It's a high risk for the defense, and it's a high risk for the offense, and it could go either way.
I know you said you didn't have anything planned in terms of Dwight Clark and some of the players that were here, but did you have any interactions with anybody over the weekend?
You know, before the game, you know, I get out there pretty late. Before the game, so I didn't get a chance to see many people. You know, I saw Eric Wright walking in, who I knew well when I was younger here. He definitely was a guy who threw me in the ice tub a ton of times. And I got to see Mr. DeBartolo, too. That was great. I haven't seen him since I was real little, and got to talk to him for a little bit. You know, my parents were at the game, so I actually stopped by and saw him and Dwight, and I saw a lot of guys. You know, I think they told me they saw Steve Bono and his wife and some people they hadn't seen in a long time. But you know, I didn't get a chance to hang out with people much. It was cool. I talked to our team about it a little bit on Saturday night, you know, just to go through like what the 81 Niners meant to this organization, things like that. And got a lot of young guys in there, so you got to tell them a lot of stuff sometimes. But I'm just telling them how big of a team that was when, you know, because they were the first team to win a Super Bowl here. And they did an 81, and kind of talked to him a little bit about the 79 season when they were 2-14. Talked to him about the 80 season when they were 6-10. And I told him how the 81 season was what started it all, and kind of talked to him about how I don't think they just got to that 81 season. I think they went through a lot of stuff in those 2 years prior to that, and some hard work, and they had to grind out and find out the types of people that Coach Walsh wanted on that team. And I think they went through a lot of adversity to get to that 81 team. And you know, I kind of made some comparisons to that, what we're going through right now. I'd like to say I feel farther ahead than that, than they were at that time. You know, I definitely haven't studied that team very hard with the film and everything, but I'd like to feel we're ahead of that. I know we don't have that record to show for it, but I just try to put in perspective to people that, you know, no matter how tough things are and no matter how bad people can say they are, that you got to be strong-minded. You got to know where you're going and what it's going to take to get there. And just because it's hard on your way there doesn't mean you can't stop believing in what you think's important and working at it every day. And I think they're a perfect example of a team that did that.
Last one, guys.
Was 0-7, and they won this week, I think.
Well, it's,
that parallel is...
It would be nice. Let's hope we keep it going like that.
Impressive historical knowledge.
Thank you. It's all I got, so I'm glad you're impressed with it.
You're very welcome. Is that something you've brushed up on since you've been here? Or I know you're, I know the fans from way back. I mean, was that already in your arsenal?
No, it wasn't all. You know, I mean, I knew the year, I knew they won the Super Bowl in 81, and I knew they weren't very good when Bill got here. I knew that. I didn't know those exact records and stuff. That was definitely told to me by someone trying to give me some encouragement, and I used it. I appreciated it. But it, I don't use it just to say it, and I'm not telling you guys just to make you guys feel better. I thought it was neat for our players to hear. I think people do get down, and they, you know, the whole world's caving in, and it's and I understand that because it does feel that way. But it's also don't lose perspective. This is, to me, it's part of a process that is very important, and I wish it could be another way, but this is the way it is, and I feel I can handle anything. I really believe that, and I believe I'm hoping we got the right guys in our room that can handle anything too.
Can you share that with you?
I think my dad did. I think he did.